More than 200,000 killed, nearly half of Syrians have fled their homes. 7.6 million displaced inside Syria, and 3.9 million, half of them children, have sought refuge in other countries. 5.6 million children inside Syria endure poverty, displacement, and the dangers of war. Life expectancy has been reduced by 20 years, and almost 58% are thus unemployed, and more than 4 in 5 Syrians live in poverty. The U.S. insists with the ouster of Assad, everything will fall into place, while it and its allies support militancy with weapons and training, while these moderates increasingly join ISIL. That and more up for discussion in this edition of The Debate. Well, let's now introduce our guests for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is the editor of Veterans Today, and he is joining us live now from Madison. And we're also joined by Professor Daniel Serber, who is a professor at Johns Hopkins University, and he is joining us live now from Washington. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us for this edition of The Debate. Professor Serber, I'd like to start with you, if I may. Secretary Kerry says military pressure may be necessary to oust President Assad. The State Department as well has chosen to reiterate the U.S. desire to oust Assad. Now, these many years into the crisis, isn't it time for the West to end its failed policy vis-a-vis Syria and Assad?
Well, I think it's time for Assad to stop attacking his own people. I don't think there's any way the West can prevent the Syrian people from rising against a dictatorship that they're tired of.
And so Dr. Barrett, then I put the same question to you, essentially. What about the failed policy in your mind and the need to change that?
Well, yes, I think this is the height of hypocrisy to say that the West is just helping the brave Syrian people fighting against a dictator. That's, of course, what we're getting in the corporate Zionist-dominated Western media. And unfortunately, a lot of Muslims and other people around the world have fallen for that because, of course, of that media line dominates the global airwaves. But the fact of the matter is that the catastrophe in Syria would never have happened if the fourth generation warfare destabilization plans had not been deployed by NATO, Israel, and local forces allied to NATO and Israel, namely Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and other big money Gulf countries who created these militias. We believe that the violence in Syria was incited or at least accelerated when during the peaceful demonstrations, NATO snipers, black operators, people who are professional killers and professional deception artists, took up positions on rooftops and fired at the Syrian army to make them believe that the demonstrators were shooting at them, and also fired at the crowds to make them believe that the Syrian soldiers were shooting at them. Exactly the same scenario that was deployed in the Ukraine, the same scenario that was deployed in Iran in 1953 when the same forces, the CIA and their friends, overthrew the government of Iran. And so this is a destabilization operation. This is a war on Syria by the NATO empire of evil. And if they were really interested in getting rid of dictators, they would be interested in getting rid of the House of Saud. They'd be interested in getting rid of General al-Sisi, who overthrew the first genuinely democratic government in the entire 5,000-year history of Egyptian civilization and murdered thousands of political opponents, and represents this deep state in Egypt that's been torturing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of peaceful political opponents, all with U.S. support. So I'm sorry, but my friend, the professor at Johns Hopkins, is a flaming hypocrite and liar when he claims that this is simply an uprising of the Syrian people. Polls show, even polls by Al Jazeera, which is completely on the side of the so-called Syrian rebels, showed that at the height of the peaceful demonstrations, Assad was still getting 55% plus popularity ratings in their polling. I don't know where these people get off. It's true that there is a split of opinion in Syria, and that split needs to be healed, but it won't be healed by arrogant demands that the government just commit suicide on behalf of the U.S. NATO Zionist empire of evil.
Very well, Professor Serber, I would like your response to that. How do you think wounds will be healed in Syria?
Well, I think wounds will be healed in Syria when Syrians can deal with each other without the oppressive forces of the government trying to dictate to the Syrian people their choices. And the description you've just heard of some vast Western NATO Zionist conspiracy is simply fantasy land. There's no serious reality behind
it. See, the CIA has overthrown over 50 governments in the last few decades.
I don't like to be interrupted. Please do not interrupt me. This is fantasy. It's recognized as fantasy, I'm quite certain, by Iranians as well as by Syrians. And I don't really see the point in it, to tell you the truth. We have a very serious problem in Syria, and it needs serious attention. It doesn't need that kind of propagandistic nonsense.
But Professor Serwer, I'd like to push you on that, if you allow me. You know, when we look at the U.S. strategy as it has been until now, when we speak about the quote-unquote moderate rebels, which it has spoken about training and giving weapons to, etc., we see that many of those very quote-unquote moderates have in fact joined the likes of ISIL, and we've seen reports of that in Western media. The Independent reported 700 members, I believe, joined ISIL, and that was a while back. So then, why isn't the Pentagon, and the Pentagon says it's recruiting more quote-unquote moderates now to train even more. Will it get it right this time? Because, you know, the track record hasn't been so good so far.
No, it hasn't been very good, and it hasn't been good partly because of the very limited assistance that's been provided. But I'd be the first to say, look, this is not only a military question. This is a question of governance, and it's important that the Syrian opposition demonstrate that it can govern on territory inside Syria. The regime has clearly demonstrated that it's unable to govern without murdering its own citizens. It's time for the Syrian opposition to demonstrate an alternative, more accountable, more transparent, and more democratic form of governance.
Okay, Dr. Barrett, I wanted to put that to you then, because, you know, as you mentioned as well, and as is the truth, that there was at one point in time a peaceful protest movement in Syria before it was taken over, in your words. Then I'm wondering, can President Assad be trusted to take Syria forward?
Well, I don't know if anybody in particular can be trusted, but I think that some kind of reconciliation is necessary. And what the other guest is saying about trying to set up some sort of alternative Syrian government on territory that's not controlled from Damascus is just throwing gasoline on the fire. That's keeping the schism going between those parts of Syria that support the current government and those parts that don't. And there, let's all be honest and admit that that split exists. You know, anybody who claims that every Syrian supports Assad is lying, and anybody who says that every Syrian or even a big majority violently oppose Assad is also lying. There is a split in opinion. And in order to overcome this split, we don't need to smash Syria into pieces. That's the whole point of this attack on Syria, orchestrated according to the Oded Yanon plan that was made public in the 1970s. Israel plotted to destabilize and break its neighbors into pieces. That's the reason that the West, which has been captured by neoconservative Zionist forces, has waged this war on Syria. Anyone who's genuinely serious about ending this war, and I don't think that my debating partner is, because he just wants to keep Syria split in two and keep it fighting, but anyone who really wants peace is got to stand up for the territorial integrity of Syria, and has got to stand against this arrogant imperialist demand for regime change. Yes, I agree that this government in Syria should change. It should become more democratic. It should be respecting human rights. It should be more inclusive. It should find ways to bring in the kinds of people who currently oppose it. But that's not going to happen by setting up two separate armed camps in Syria and throwing weapons at them and letting them fight. That's only going to happen when there's some kind of negotiated solution. And given the fact that the arrogant Western imperial powers, let's call them what they are, have been trying to impose their own solution of regime change on Syria through this fourth generation warfare policy of destabilization, given that reality, and I think all sides need to admit that that's a reality before any honest discussion could possibly happen. Once that's been admitted and the forces trying to overthrow Assad admit that they made a mistake, then there can be some kind of inclusive negotiations, perhaps with internationally supervised elections, that could determine a future for Syria that would be very different from either a continuing Assad governance forever, or an overthrow of the current government and the replacement with the sort of anarchy that we've seen in places like Libya and Iraq, previous countries targeted for regime change under the Oded Yunon plan by the Zionist imperialist neoconservatives. This is not rhetoric. This is not propaganda. This is reality. And if